Stuart.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Phyllis.
Phyllis, welcome. I'm clicking. Why is it? Hi, Connie.
Which Hani is with us? Who's Hani?
I assume that's my daughter.
Hi.
Hi, who is in beautiful Waterbury, Connecticut, who has a ticket to Eretz HaKodesh for Sunday and an entry permit.
Take me along.
I know. It's like, I mean, this has been 2.5 months in planning, trying to actually get all this together, but we're closer.
Not only that, but the restrictions are being lifted in Israel, so that means more things to do.
That's why they allowed the one of the restrictions that were lifted was the letting the yeshiva students come in. So, it's Hashem, she will be gone.
Wow.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, Janet. Okay, let us share screen. Okay. Looks like we got a quorum. It's 3 o'clock. Everyone see the sources?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm gonna talk about Parashat Bereishit. I'm going to start by unsolicited ad from Mishpacha magazine, which I mocked when we first got the subscription, but I actually do enjoy reading it and all the magazines that go with it, including Family First, which advertises itself as the Jewish women's magazine. So it's got lots of recipes and lots of how to raise your family kind of articles there. So this was an article that struck me from July. I'm going to read that. 15 years ago, when Shifra Miriam Ehrlich was a first grade teacher in Borough Park, she began to notice a trend. Too many of her students were having allergic reactions to life. They couldn't handle when things went wrong. The kids would melt down if they weren't chosen for something or if homework was too hard. I have no idea what she's talking about. My children are not like that, but snowflakes is a problem. Reaching out to parents on the issue, Shifra and Miriam encountered the same helplessness she saw in the classroom. The parents themselves felt overwhelmed or distraught when their child faced a challenge, be it academic or social. That's when Shifra Miriam then realized that teaching resilience.
Will you do the parsha for me?
Aviva,
the parsha for me?
Mm-hmm. Aviva.
The Yes, Hatul. You can hold the phone.
Right, yeah. Aviva, can you mute? Sorry, not that I definitely like hearing Aviva, but I'm gonna try to do this my share here.
Abba, it's Eliyahu, not Aviva.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Eliyahu.
He was saying Eliyahu is a chatul.
I heard the chatul part. Okay, so Eliyahu has resilience, and Mrs. Greenblatt at Beis Yaakov likes calling it grit. This is important, but kids don't have grit these days. That teaching resilience to her students would only go so far, she had to work with the parents too, because the parents can't handle when things go wrong. If Hashem wanted life to be smooth, he could make it that way, as Shiva Miriam emphasized in her workshops, but he wants it to be challenging, so there's opportunity for growth. If everything were perfect, our children would never have to exert any energy and learn about this thing called life. In fact, she continues, the fact that things go wrong has been built into the very essence of the world. She quotes an idea from Avraham Chaim Carmel, who cites the Maharal and Rav Dessler. If anybody knows where Rav Dessler says this, let me know, because I couldn't find it. On each of the 6 days of creation, something went wrong, and that's a connection to our parsha. The Medrash says, the end of the day, Hashem marveled the world and his work, and says, Hinei tov ma'od, behold, is very good, despite or even because of the imperfections. Everything went wrong, and it's still very good.
He didn't say tov ma'od on every day.
No, at the end of it.
No, only one day.
Yeah, the end, the last day.
Oh, I thought it was Tuesday.
No. Tov Ma'od is at the end of Friday.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Everything as a whole, it's Tov Ma'od. Every individual day is
okay, sorry. Oh. I'm muting.
Oh, no, you can. We can put the comments in. Okay, and I will say that we know it went wrong on day six, right? That was the whole snake and the apple thing. And all that's explicit in the text. But the stories of the idea of what something went wrong on the other days come out of the Midrash. They're Drush There's subtleties in the text that Chazal look at, but they're important enough that Rashi actually brings them down on every single day. And we'll point that Rashi brings Midrashim, they think it's important to understand what the text is trying to teach us. He doesn't bring everything. And this is Rashi's introduction to his methods. Source 2, Ani lo vati, Ella, and Rashi saying, I only come, the Pshuto shel Mikra, to explain the unadorned text, v'agada hamyashevet divrei ha-mikra, and to the agada that helps to settle the words of the text. That fits in there. It quotes a pasuk from Mishle, davur al ofanav, to say each thing on its basis. So these are the basic explanations. Ula mashma. Oh, the third thing is to explain the literal meaning of the text, what the words mean. So that's Rashi's idea. So, but he thinks these agadot are important enough that we should know them when we're reading Parsha Bereishit. So what are the things that went wrong? Trouble starts the very start of creation, day zero, right before Hashem does everything. It says, Bereishit bara Elokim, the Shemayim et Aretz. And Rashi says, why the name Elokim here? Right? V'lo ne'amar bar Hashem. Doesn't use the Shem Havaya. Initially, Hashem planned on creating the world with Midat Hadin, represented by Shem Elokim. And then Hashem realizes, oh, that's not going to work. I made a mistake. Let's do it differently. The world will never survive. I mean, what does that mean? Hashem realized made a mistake. It's a gada. Hikdim Midat Rachmim v'shitfa l'Midat Hadin. So Hashem took his Midat HaRachamim, which is the Shem Havaya, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and stuck it in front of Midat HaDin. B'Hanei Dikhtiv, that's what it says in the second version of creation in Perek Bet, B'yom Asot Hashem Elokim Eretz Hashemayim. So our Perek is all Elokim, and then the next Perek is all Hashem Elokim. That's the first thing that went wrong. Right? Hashem plans to do it, Midat HaDin, and can't do it. And every day there's something. First day, Hashem creates light. Hashem sees the light and it was good. And Hashem divided light and dark. And Rashi explains, and for this we also need the Agada to understand what's going on. And I'm not going to deal with these in detail, but these are Agada. We have to think about what they mean. We don't take them literally, but seriously. And what did he see? That the or is tov, the light is good, it's too good for this world. I made a mistake, I better hide it away.
On it. Oh, sorry.
And took
sorry,
the light of creation and hid it away for the future, for tzaddikim. And now we just have the light of the sun. We don't have this original or of the first day creation. Day two, we're going to deal in more detail later.
So Danny, we don't know what that first light was like.
We don't. It's Hibdilol Tzadikim Latid Lavo. Hopefully we'll all be on the Tzadik list and we'll find out Olam Haba, what that means. And a place to look at what that means, lots have been written about that. You can look at Rav Soloveitchik's Lonely Man of Faith, the one approach to this. We're looking at day three. V'yom Elokim Tatshe Aretz Desha Esev Mazira Zera. Hashem says, let the earth bring forth greenery for all its bringing forth seed, eitz peri, fruit trees, osef peri, let me know, that bring all their own kinds of fruit. Asher azaro bo'al aretz, and they bring forth seed and reproduce, vayichen, and that's what happened. And what happened? Vatosei aretz desha, the earth gave forth the greenery, eisev mazriyazera, grasses with seeds, mineo for all their kinds, the eitz osef peri, and trees that made fruits, asher azaro bo'al mineo, that reproduce according to their kind, Bayar Elokim Ki Tov, and they saw that it was good. Okay, that was Tuesday. And Rashi and Chazal point out that the difference is, it starts out, Hashem says it should be the Eitz Peri Oseh Peri. And what it actually ends up being is Eitz Oseh Peri. Rashi explains that Eitz Peri, a fruit, literally a fruit tree, a tree that is fruit, She Yehe Tam Ha Eitz Ki Tam Ha Peri, that the tree should taste like the fruit. I'm not sure exactly what that's supposed to mean, but we talked about with the etrog, so that connects to Sukkot, and we can look at that agarata. Each of these things warrants.
There's a tree in the botanical garden.
Yeah.
The fruit literally grows on the bark of the tree. It's called, it's from Brazil, I think.
Uh-huh.
Something, anacaba or something. Anyway, it's delicious.
Okay. Maybe that's the original H-Pri.
You can eat it from the tree. You can go to the Botanical Gardens and actually just eat it.
Actually, please don't ask me that question. I was following what the birds were doing, and it's in the climatron.
Okay, so
climatron. So I was following them.
You were not caught.
I was not caught.
Okay. But what happened in reality? He lost that can. The Earth did not do that. Did not create Eitz Pri. Elisha Tutsi Eretz Eitz Oseh Pri. Below Eitz Pri, the trees make the fruit. They don't. They are not the fruit. Lefichach. Therefore, Shinit Kalkel Adam Albono. Therefore, when the man was cursed for his sin, Nifkada Gamhi Albonah Benikala. That's why it says Arura Hadamab Biglalecha, that the curse of Adam spread to the land itself because the land got that wrong. What that means, it's a Gaddic. You can read Jeremy Kagan's The Jewish Self talks about, you know, what we learned from that. What is this Agada to teach us? That was day three. Day four. Ayasil Kimachdam Morota Go Agadalim. And God made the two great lights, Etamoragadol Mshatayam, the big one during the day, but Etamorakatam Mshatalila, and the little one at night, but the Kochvim and all the stars. And Chazal noticed it starts out with two great lights and ends up with one big and one small. We all know this Midrash that Shavim Nivru, that they were created equal. Moon and sun were equal in brightness. Bitmat ahalavana, and the moon was made smaller. Al shekitriga, because it complained, it testified against God. Again, these are all things. How can you, right? God created it and then said, nope, that doesn't work. Bamra, and the moon says, Ef shar l'shneim lachim, shishtam shu b'keter echad, we can't have two kings with the same crown. So Hashem said, fine, you don't get to be the big one. And we can read for a fast eggs, the moon's lost light for our ways of understanding that I got it. But again, it's another day where Hashem creates it and then something goes wrong. And then day five, by Vrael Kimat Harinim Hagadolim, God created the great sea creatures, called Nefesh Chaya Romeshet, Asher Shatua Mayim Minehem, Romeshet, Asher Shatua Mayim Minehem, and all the creepy, crawly, teeming things in the sea. Of Kanaf Mineo and all winged flying things, but Yahokim Kitobi, so it was good. And then Chazal pick up on the fact that Taninim is spelt without that final yud. It's Taninam, which in the Midrashic way of looking at it, that all it implies that there's a meaning which is singular, not plural. Kol Yisrael Yeshvu Basukot, Ezrach Yisrael Yeshvu Basukot. That everyone should live in a Sukkot, and they say Sukkot is not written without that last vav. Therefore, it could be one sukkah. Therefore, you can have a sukkah as big as you want. So here too, Taninim implies not more than one, but just one. Udvregada, the Gemara says, "Hu Leviathan v'Benzugo." This is the Leviathan, great sea monster, and its mate, Sher Ba'am Zachar Nekeva, that were created male and female, Baragad and Nekeva. Tim looked at it and said, "No, that's not going to work." Killed the female, and salted away the world's biggest schmaltz herring for Olam Haba. She mifru v'yirbu, because Hashem saw that if these Leviathan ben Zugo would multiply, l'dkayim olam b'fnehem, the world would not last. So every day something goes wrong. It's built into the world, as the Family First article. And I got to realize that. Things aren't perfect. Life isn't fair. And the sum total of the Agoda are telling us that. So I'm going to go back to day two. That's what I want to focus on, because I thought that was interesting. So what was the thing that went wrong on day two? What happened on day two? Hashem creates the sky. God said, let there be a firmament. Rakia, Rakam means to plate, like to a metal plating. There should be a plating on in the middle of the water.
A silver lining.
These are the clouds with a silver line. Very good. He magdil ben mayim lamayim, and it will divide between the water and the water. Bayasil came at Rakia, so Hashem makes the firmament. One of those biblical words that only come up when translating the Bible.
That and phylacteries.
I like phylacteries and tabernacle.
Oh, and tabernacle.
Tabernacle, I love those words. So it's a firmament. Vayadel ben hamayim asher mitachal rakia, and it divided between the water that was underneath the rakia, underneath the sky, ben hamayim asher mitachal rakia, and there's water above the rakia. What does that mean? It's a good question. We don't understand Maaseh Bereishit, Vayichen, and that's what happened. What went wrong is that Rashi says, based on a pasuk in Eov, that Hashem actually had to rebuke the sky to make it congeal. It didn't want to do it. Hashem said, you hear Akia, and it said no. Hear Akia, and the pasuk in Eov is, Amudei Shamayim Mirofafu, the pillars of the heavens trembled, V'yitzmahu Migarotav, and they quailed. They were afraid because of his rebuke. God's rebuke. It wasn't Eov. So this is Rashi. Hirakia means Yechazakarakia. The sky should become stronger. Sha'afal pisha niv usha mayim biyom rishon. Even though the sky, the heavens, it says, Rishon b'alokim at the shemayim of the earth, it was created on the first day, adayin lachin hayu. It was still permeable. However, you understand the waters above and below, they could get through. B'karshu b'sheini, and they congealed. They hardened up on the second day. B'garat karshbar, because Hashem rebuked them. From Roi Hiraki, as he said, let there be a sky. Deshakata, that's what it means. Amudei Shemayim Rofafu, that the pillars of the heavens trembled. Kol Yom Rishon, that they were still shaky on the first day. Vashni Yitmu Migarata, the second day, they were astounded from his rebuke. Ka'adam, just like a person, Shed Mishdomim V'omed Migarat Hamayim Olav. A person who shuts up and stands still when he's being yelled at. Those of us who are parents know exactly what that means.
Mayam is threatened, though.
I'm sorry?
Mayam is threatened.
Mayam?
Yeah.
Okay. That is from the EM, to be afraid. Okay, I would say threatening is a good word there. You behave or else. Unfortunately, it doesn't work with kids, but it eventually did work with the sky. So whatever this means, again, Agarata, how we interpret Agarata, whatever that means, it really bothered Shimon ben Zoma, who was a Tana. He was one of the great Darshanim. Gemara says that when he died, there was no more Darshanim of the Torah. He's the one who said, ben Zoma is the one who said, Ezo Ashir Asameach Bechalko. We quote him in the Seder. He's the one who said that we should say Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim at night as well, because it's Kol Yimei Chayecha. Specifically, we can talk about Ben Zoma. This is the Medrash Rab, the Bereishis Rabba. Be'aso kima tarakia. Hashem made the sky. Ze echad min ha-makarot. This is one of the texts. Shehir ish Ben Zoma tolam. The Ben Zoma, I'm trying to say herish, screamed, made noise. He made noise that filled the world. He screamed at this pasuk. Couldn't deal with it. Because it says vayas, what do you mean vayas? Vayas et mama. It really means Hashem had to make it. We know this idea of ria, yitira, asiya. It's very low level. Hello, b'mamarhen. That the heavens were created by the simple statement, the speech of Hashem. Asar mamarot. As it says, b'dvar Hashem shemayim nasu. The words of Hashem. The word of Hashem made the heavens. Ruach kiv kol tzva'am. And everybody said, what God said. Allowed all the hosts of the world to be created. The Rambanix looks at this medrash, Bereishit Rabbah, trying to explain what was bothering Ben Zoma so much. And he says the problem is, if you look at the pasuk over here, it says, Vayomer Elokim Yihirakia, and then Vayas Elokim Atarakia. This Gara, this idea that Shem said it and nothing happened. And required an asiya afterwards, right? That Rashi calls the gara, rebuke it.
Right? That doesn't happen with the other cases, like the rest of creation.
Right. Everywhere else is vayomer elokim vayichen, vayomer vayichen, vayomer vayichen. Sometimes vayas afterwards, but vayomer elokim or vayichen, and it happens. This didn't happen here. That's the Ramban. Bereishit Rabba, amru vayas elokim atarakia, zuachad mimakrot shehirish erish ben zoma ta'olam. We just said this really bothered Ben Zoma. The in harasha'ah and this screaming at him is milasha vayas lebadam. So the problem is not the word vayas. Because we use that phrase elsewhere in the story of creation. And what exact difference between Ria and Asiya is, that's for the Kabbalist among us. But it's there. We know there's some kind of distinction. About Haya Mizesha Amarti, this is what I've said before, Ramaz Kohen himself. Bavurki Bashar Yamin, so every other day, Katub Acha Amira Vayihichen. After it says God said, then it happened. The Marshniya came Yad Tekef Acha Maria. The things happen right after the Amira. Vakan Achar Vayomer Elkim, but here it says Vayomer Elkim, Vihiraki, etc. And it says Vaya, Vaya Katub Vayas, Zui Kushiyata. This was his problem. Something went wrong. Sky didn't listen, and he was very bothered by this. Maybe he had a literally secret explanation. That expression always means something Kabbalistic, something mystical. He didn't want to tell us the secret. And that's why he was screaming. Whatever it was something on the mystical side, and we don't know what it is. And the Ramban leaves it at that. But I'm going to go a little further, and I want to figure out what's bothering Ben Zoma so much. I'm going to add the disclaimer you have to add from Ben Sira, that Plaot Mimcha Al Tidros, that things are too wondrous for you, don't even ask. Umuchasem Mimcha Al Tachkar, and don't look into things that are covered up. Mehusha Tachiponen, you should only try to understand the things you're allowed to try to understand. And you have no business dealing with nistarot, secrets. But I'm going to do it anyway. So, I don't know anything. Anything I say about Kabbalah is probably wrong.
Can I ask you a question, Danny?
Sure.
Was Ben Zoma one of the four that entered?
Very good. That's exactly where we're heading.
But I forgot which one he was.
That's we're going there. Thank you.
Okay.
You know it.
Okay.
We're gonna start. That story is brought in a couple of places. The Arba Shnichnas Pardes, you see, verse 20. But I'm gonna quote it. The version brought in the Tosefta in Chagiga. Chagiga Perek Bet is the one that talks about don't teach Ma'ase Bereishit, you know, the secret to creation, to anyone who's not worthy of learning it. And this is Ma'ase Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chalaf, the second generation Tana, was the Kabbalah Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi and Ben Zoma and Ben Azay and all that group, who were the third generation in Yavne. The Masib Rabbi Yehoshua, they happened with Rabbi Yehoshua. She had Mahalech be'estrata, was walking on a strata, which is from the Greek word strata, which means a paved walkway, a sidewalk.
Hmm.
Don't get muddy. He was walking on this, he was walking on a strata. But yeah, Ben Zoma Balan Kenegdo. And he saw Ben Zoma coming toward him. He's Ben Zoma's Rebbe. Higia Itzlo, Lo Natan Lo Shalom. When they met, Ben Zoma didn't say hello, didn't greet him. Which for us nowadays, that always happens because we're all on our phones like this, right? We never pay attention to anybody. That was pretty striking. Right? Ben Zoma doesn't, he's his own world. So Omar Lo, so Yeshua says to Ben Zoma, May Ayin La Ayin Ben Zoma, Earth to Ben Zoma, where are you coming from? Where are you going? What's up? Omar Lo, so Ben Zoma tells him, Sofa Hayiti B'Masa Bereishit. I was looking into the... Okay? This is not a good idea. And what did I find out? Ein Ben Mayim Ha'elyonim L'Mayim Ha'tachatonim Afil Tefach. That the distance between those upper waters and the lower waters, the thickness of the rakia is less than a hand breadth. You could touch it. How do I know that? Because it says, Ruach Elokim Rachefet Apnei Mayim, because beginning of Bereishit, it says the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. Omer, Kinesha Yirkino, Agazov Yerachef, Pasuk from Hazinu, that Hashem is like an eagle awakening its nest, hovering over its chicks. Manesha zet tas, that just like the eagle is flying al kono on over its nest, nogeya ve'ena nogeya, barely touching but not touching.
Hovering,
right. So close. So too, the upper waters and the lower waters, the upper waters are just hovering over the lower waters. It's less than a tepach there. Other places say, other versions of this say he said it was an etzba. Okay, that he's identifying this mayim elyonim with the ruach elokim. Ruach elokim is merachefet al pnei hamayim. The ruach elokim is mayim elyonim. The mayim tachnonim is the physical water on the earth itself.
Are we talking about the atmosphere?
There are lots of understandings of this. That clearly is not what he's saying, that the atmosphere is only a tepach vik. And he's identifying the mayim elyonim with the ruach elokim, right? The ruach elokim is merachefet, that's the mayim elyonim.
I'm not talking about thickness, I'm talking about the distance. I'm picturing like the ocean and then the sky.
And literally, the ocean, the sky is right over the ocean here.
Right.
And he is identifying this elyonim. Well, the distance, he's saying the ein ben mayim elyonim mayim tachin, the distance between the upper and the lower waters. The thickness of the rakia. Right? The rakia is what separates them. The thickness of the rakia is less than a tepach.
Oh, the rakia is what right, that's what you said, the rakia is what separates them. Okay. Right. Okay.
Okay? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Says that, right? That's what Ben Zoma says to Rabbi Yeshua as he pulled back to, paying attention. Amar lahem Rabbi Yeshua to tell me that. So Rabbi Yeshua turns to his students who are walking with him and says, Kvar Ben Zoma mi bachutz. Ben Zoma's lost it. He's gone. And it was only a few days later that Ben Zoma died.
Wow.
That's the Tosefta, Perek Bet, Mishnah Vav. The previous ones are the story of the Arba Shnichtos to the parties. Okay, so this came after. So we all know the Agadah about the four went into the party. Arba Shnichtos to the parties. Generally understood as who started learning Kabbalah mystical ideas. It was Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, Elisha ben Abua, Rabbi Akiva. We all know the story. Ben Azai hitzitz v'met. Ben Azai looked and died. Ben Zoma hitzitz v'nifka. Ben Zoma looked and literally was afflicted. He went mad. Yeah, that's translated.
He went mad.
So afterwards, there's this incident with Rabbi Yeshua when Rabbi Yeshua looked at him and said, he's gone. I don't know what happened to him, but he's looking at Masa Bereshit, and he's not long for this world. Elisha hitzitz v'kitzit neta'ot. Elisha ben Abua looked and started cutting down the saplings. He became a heretic. That's why he was called Acher. Rabbi Akiva, Allah b'shalom, Rabbi shalom. Rabbi Akiva went in peace and came back in peace. He's the one who actually could learn this Kabbalah idea. And then it continues with a mashal. And Mishnah Hay. Oh, Mashal Mashal. Mashal, what? Lamad Davar Dameh, what's this like? This going into the Pardes. The Istara. Remember that Istara?
Oh. That
they were on?
Yeah.
Okay, and the Istara is the Mashal here. That's important. Over Pinshay Derachim. Like you have this paved path that goes between two paths on the side.
Is that the Rakia?
I'm sorry?
Is that the Rakia?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is talking about learning your Kabbalah.
Right, okay.
If you want to go into the Pardes, but you're surrounded on one side, there's Echad Shel Ur, there's a side of fire, of Echad Shel Sheleg. I'll translate it as ice because it's more poetic. There's fire and ice. One side is fire, one side is ice. Too cold, nothing. Too hot, you're burned. Hitila Khan, Nivka Ba'or. You go far to one side, you're burned by the fire. Hitila Khan, go to the other side, Nivka Ba'Sheleg. Get frostbite. Ma'alav Adam, what do you have to do? V'halech ba'emza, you gotta go right down the middle. Stay on the paved path. Stay on the istra. Don't go one side to the other one. There's a very careful balance to learning mysticism and Kabbalah. It's there's things there. We want to know something about the theology of the nature of the divine, but we gotta be close to Hashem. That's what Avod Hashem means. The too close, we're burned. So putting this together, Ben Zoma is so fab in Masa Bereshit. Looking at Masa Bereshit, after he comes out of this Pardes, talks about this Ma'al Yonim is the same as Ruach Elokim, which in Tanakh, Ruach Elokim always means divine inspiration. It's what a Navi had does. It's Ruach Elokim. Ruach HaKodesh in modern Hebrew. You realize it's so close you can touch it. less than a hand's length away. Right? The Mayim Tachtonim is the physical world. The Mayim Elyonim is Ruach Elokim, less than a hand's breadth away, and he can't reach it. And that frustration is what drives him mad. It's right there, but I can't get there. I can see it. And we see that elsewhere. Like Shaul. Right? Shaul actually achieved Nevuah. He got the Ruach Elokim. This story when Shaul first becomes king in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud, that by Yosham Begivata, Shmuel goes to the Gibah, Ve'yichevon Nevi'im Lekarto, he's met by a band of Nevi'im, Patzitzlach Alav Ruach Elokim, like Nevi'im Tochad. And he's overcome by the Ruach Elokim. He achieves it. And he starts being a Nevi. The Zohar doesn't achieve that, right? That's Satana, that's well after there's any Nevuah. And then everyone says, Hagam Shaul ben Nevi'im, even Shaul's a Navi, it's an amazing thing. But at the end of his life, after he makes the mistake and Shmuel tells him, you're no longer king anymore, Ruach Hashem, Sarabi, and Me'am Shaul. Then Shaul loses this. I won't deal with the difference between Ruach Hashem and Ruach Elokim, loses this in Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach Ra'ah made Hashem. And now he still gets a new Ruach from Hashem, but now it's a Ruach Ra'ah that afflicts him. And then he has to bring David in, but yeah, to Ruach Elokim El Sha'ul, when this new Ruach Elokim comes onto him, then Blakach David to Kinor, then David has to play his harp and try to calm him down. B'sar Alav Ruach Ra'ah. So Shaul has the same thing that Ben Zoma is experiencing. Shaul is even worse, because Shaul actually got to the Ruach Elokim and then lost it. Ben Zoma just can see it. I can touch it, right? It's less than a tepach away. And that frustration of being close to Hashem, being so far, that's can be impossible to deal with. That's where we lose it. And that's especially important right now, because this is Shabbos Bereishis. Rosh Cheshvan. Because we're coming out of Tishrei, the spiritual high of Yom Na'araim. We're inspired. Everything is great, right? We say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto out loud, and then it all goes away. Right? I like using the word quotidian. Everyday grind. Right? We're back to the thing, and all that inspiration is just ebbing away. We're losing it all. We were so close, and now so far. It's very easy to go, drive yourself crazy with that.
Could you put your arrow over the word again?
Quotidian. All recurring every day.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. So, if you do know on the on my website here, I do define all these good big words like that. Okay, but you're not supposed to. Part of this lesson that family person is telling us that yes, the things that go wrong, the fact that there is this barrier between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim, that's built into the world, and yes, there are points where we can't reach it. That's not a reason to drive yourself crazy, it's a reason to try harder. It's still there. And to finish off with that article, it's okay to have problems, we need to teach that to children. They don't have to run away from issues or make them immediately disappear. This concept will likely be challenging for kids in our instant generation where everything is available and replaceable with the click of a button. Kids often aren't used to waiting things out. And I would say it's not the kids, the adults too can't handle waiting things out and realizing that, yes, things aren't always perfect. Things don't necessarily work. That's the way the world's created. That's what the same Breishit tells us. And day two, what teaches us that about spiritual matters, that it's a lot of work and no, we don't succeed. We'll never get all the way. But don't drive yourself crazy. With that, have a good Shabbos.
Danny, I just want to add one thing.
Sure.
You always say about the tzaddik isn't somebody who never falls. He falls all the time, but he gets up.
Right. Right, that's a Mishlei. Tzadik Sheva Yipol Vakam, something like that.
Yeah.
Constantly falls and gets up. Right. I think it's probably worth looking at all these Agadah, each one at a time and seeing what each of them mean. But this was the one I liked about day two, about the Rakia being so close that that the Rakia itself didn't want to be the separation, but Hashem said, no, you got to do this. I will stop recording.
Thanks, Annie.